Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we are talking about knowing God, developing an intimate, supernatural relationship. Remember, you already have a soulical relationship. I mean, that's a spiritual relationship with Him that's already perfect and complete. Our problem now are the hindrances between our spirit and our soul. And that's what we are here on this earth to overcome, are those hindrances. Our hindrances are generally our flesh, the world system, and the devil. Those are our enemies. And our flesh is built around our wounds. So this is why it's so important to know how to get healed from God, how to go to get Him to get healed. When we're talking about knowing God and developing that supernatural relationship, we start with the recognition that the soulical realm, the supernatural realm, is there whether we recognize it or not, but the more we recognize it and the more we depend on God to teach us and train us, we develop our soulical senses, our supernatural senses. You already have them. You've just not learned to rely on them. You've not learned to trust them. We've not learned to be able to judge their accuracy. So just as in the natural realm, we learn how to judge distance, judge our abilities in other areas, our hearing, and we do that just by our day-to-day walking around in this life. You don't have to sit and think about, okay, I'm going to be aware of what I hear today. It's your ears are active and working. We could say that in the soulical realm, our soulical senses, and the soulical realm is basically your internal, the way your particular soul is put together. That's your soulical realm, how your soul functions. The supernatural realm encompasses all beings that have a soul, a mind, will, and an emotion, or a supernatural characteristic. Now, there are only two kinds of spiritual beings. That's God and us. If you are regenerated, if you have been born, spirit begets spirit. If you are born of God, born of spirit, you are spirit. That like begets like. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. But if you're here on this earth and you're a person, you have a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. Your soul functions on the supernatural realm. Supernatural just means level above natural. So the distinction there is if you're a regenerated being, a Christian, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Other supernatural beings are angels and demons and ghosts, and any other things that we care to characterize. One of the reasons this is so critical to distinguish between the spiritual realm and the supernatural realm, and spiritual beings and supernatural beings is that by misunderstanding that, we have given other supernatural beings the characteristics of the spirit. In other words, by saying that other supernatural beings, like angels and demons, are spirits, we confuse their abilities, we confuse their strengths and their powers, and we also water down our own characteristics. By saying that we are we very often think of ourselves as less powerful than angels and demons. So we cut to the chase and we remind ourselves that as a spirit being, we have the same characteristics as God in our spirit. Not our soul, not our body. But if you've got any questions about this, I have links to the charts on the site and on the Blog Talk Radio profile page. But it will helpfully give clarity to why we have this struggle that we have and what we can do about it. Our struggle becomes from the confusion about, on one hand, we know that we're called to be, and I use that term loosely or colloquially, commonly, called to be rulers and reigners and, you know, joint heirs and co-inheritors, sons of God here on this earth. But the reality is that we're not called to be that. You are that. When you were reborn, that's who you became. Joint heirs, co-inheritors. You have the responsibility and authority to rule and reign here on this earth. It's not something you will achieve or deserve. It's now who you are. And if we don't understand our true nature now, we focus on lesser things. Now, obviously, we spend time in learning about our soulical senses, our supernatural abilities and skills, but those are characteristics of our soul, not our spirit. But as our spirit flows, as the Spirit of God flows from Him through us, through our spirit, to our soul, and through our soul, your skills, your senses will be used. And it is by reason of use that your supernatural skills are honed. So we allow God to put us in whatever situation He chooses, knowing that He knows what He has in store for you tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years from now. And He will have you ready. That's why our focus is on being prepared. Because we don't know what God has up His sleeve, but we do know we can be prepared. We can be ready. We can have our senses tuned and join God in that process. And we've been talking about how the first overall, it's very general, our first general lesson is to be able to recognize His personal presence in our lives. Now, the first thing you can do to really jumpstart this is to spend a lot of time with Him. cultivate a quiet lifestyle. There's nothing evil about a lot of things going on in your life, about being distracted. It's just then when it comes down to the point where you want to still yourself before him, you have to quiet all these distractions, mental and emotional and decisions you're making. You know, like when you sit and try to think on the things of God and be still and be quiet and let your mind be blank for the Lord to write on, what comes into it? What thoughts are you fighting? What concerns or do emotions rise up? Do you have a hard time sitting still? These are all areas that before we can get to that place where we can receive clearly from God, we have to deal with all those things. So instead of waiting until there's an emergency or an assignment when God gives us homework, if we are instead cultivating a quiet lifestyle, when he says, I want you to do this, I want you to come, I want to talk to you about this, we already have the good habits and the good listening skills. So, you know, a lot of times when we spend time with him, we don't hear anything. That's fine. Your job is to listen. It's like practice. You have to redevelop those listening skills. And we'll get into more about that later. But first, recognize that God's personal presence leads us to sharpening our skills, our solical skills, in greater detail. Once you've experienced his personal presence, God will use that movement in your life more and more. And sometimes it will be subtler and subtler, and very often he will come at the worst times for you. Consider yourself among few Christians who are patient enough with God and with themselves to do things God's way. We're in this for the long haul. We're not out to get out of our current crisis, our current situation, or to fix what we perceive as something wrong or that someone else has told us this is what you need to be doing. Our goal is to know God. He already knows everything about you. So there's no surprises, and you're free to make mistakes. But there are processes and procedures and skills and habits, supernatural muscles that we can develop through exercise. Sometimes they're boring, just like regular physical exercise. Sometimes it's boring and sometimes we get hurt. We make mistakes. So we get healed and we pick ourselves back up and we get back at it. Let the Lord teach you the benefits. And this is one of the reasons he starts out with revealing his presence. Because his presence satisfies and meets our needs. His personal presence also creates desire. Knowing God will birth a desire, a thirst, to know him more. The more you know him, the more you want to know him more. Now, he will interfere with your life. You've already agreed to that. So you're not a victim of his. You're not a victim of some God out there. You have already agreed to what he's doing in your life. Because remember, in your spirit, you already know everything he's doing in your life, and you've agreed to it. You're part of it. But with that desire, we become more and more willing to deal with everything that obstructs us from entering into a full dependent relationship. Any desire to know Him comes from Him. So we know it will not be denied by Him, and that He will make a way for it to become reality for us. He knows your idea of what is real, of what is objective. And God will address that. He may start there and move on, or He may stay there. He may make it so plain in Himself, so plain and so clear. We often think that a mark of a mature Christian is that they have powerful supernatural experiences where angels appear and tell them what they're going to do or give them power or whatever. Revelation of God's future happenings or past or present. And yet, hasn't God reserved that right to do that Himself? I often think that if we need a telegram, which is all an angel is, it's a message sent from God or an intervention, then we may very well have been ignoring when He Himself has come knocking. And we've been ignoring Him, and in order to get our attention, He has to take more drastic measures. Now we'll get into detail on things like dreams and visions and supernatural experiences and angelic visitations and demonic altercations. But we are not looking at those as a measure of our dependence on God. We are going to be dealing with those topics as a normal part of our training. Just as when you are growing up, hopefully, your mom and dad taught you how to do laundry, how to cook for yourself, how to put gas in the car, how to drive, how to balance your checkbook. These were life skills that you needed more and more as you grew up. You started out as a little baby. You didn't need to know how to balance your checkbook. But hopefully, over time, and if you had wise parents, they'll teach you wise life skills, like to not go in debt, how to take care of your physical body, how to treat other people, how to plan ahead, how to be patient. Well, we have a good Father. He knows the skills that we're going to need as we enter whatever He has planned for us. So we may not think of the lessons we learn as any big deal, but He does. He knows that they are necessary. And part of that is, as a spirit being, you have authority over the supernatural and responsibility over the supernatural realm. So in order to utilize that authority and responsibility, in order to be dependent on Him moving forward, you will have to learn the skills necessary to exert that authority and responsibility over the supernatural realm. So God gives us a taste of who He is he starts to quicken and awaken our soulical senses through revealing his personal presence. And he entices us. He gives us that desire. What does salt do? We always say we're the salt of the earth. What does salt do? It makes you thirsty. Well, God does the same with us. He gives us neat experiences of him and asks, do you want more? And we say, yes, we want more. So very often then we will find other things coming up and other desires and other circumstances, hindrances, obstacles. And we go, well, God, I wanted more of you. And he says, this is how you get it. You let him be the teacher, the trainer, so that you can learn how to rule and reign here on this earth over the natural and the supernatural realms. It starts obviously with your soulical realm, your soul, your own soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So, again, we're talking long term, not just through this circumstance, this crisis, but for the rest of your time here on this earth, and possibly, since we have really no idea about what's coming next, this may continue on until it gets completed into your being. So God's personal presence creates desire. His presence also is a lifestyle. God is looking for a home to dwell in, not just a place to visit. The more our lives are transformed into a comfortable habitation for him, someplace for him to rest his head. You know, we always talk about we want to rest. Well, God wants to be able to be with us and be himself. He doesn't want to have to worry, well, if I say this, she's going to take it all out of context and think I'm criticizing her. We want to let him change us and speak to us truthfully. Then the more we will enjoy his eternal life now on a moment-by-moment basis. You, right now, you have all the eternal life you're ever going to get. The problem is, it's all in your spirit. We're here on this earth to get it into our soul and into our body. When you think about how long the age length that the first beings had, Methuselah lived 969 years. His father was Enoch and was taken from this earth. Now, he was taken because he did not pursue, he did not let any of his beliefs keep him from being with God. Now, we can go into some more things about Enoch some other time, but what was said about him was that he walked with God and then was not. He disappeared. And we can correlate those two things, that God did something different with Enoch because he walked with God. Now, it's encouraging to me that his son lived the longest on this earth, 969 years. So there was a correlation about something that Enoch learned or knew that he was trying to pass on to his kids about knowing God, that invigorated their physical bodies to where they could live, where Methuselah could live 969 years. Now, another interesting aspect of that is there will be someone who will live 1,000 years. That is that day, in that day. and maybe sometime we'll have a whole nother teaching on taking mastery over time. A day in the Lord is 1,000 years. And when we start again thinking long term, we're not talking about the next 20, 40, 60 years here on this earth. We're talking about the next 1,000 years. What if you lived that long? What different decisions would you be making for yourself? You know, first we're going to get above 100 as our, you know, 120 is our normal lifestyle. Then we'll get on to 160. But eventually, we're going to, someone's going to live 1,000 years. Is it to fulfill what was undone at the separation, at the lowering? It wasn't a fall, it was a lowering. It was it was intentional, and it was planned from the very beginning. Because as we've talked about before, the difference between you and I and Adam and Eve is we can appreciate God. They couldn't. They could not accept what he gave them. Because they always had it. You and I can say thanks. You and I receive. They took it for granted. They couldn't not take it for granted. They always had it. They always had relationship with God. They always knew him spirit by to spirit. That's why they'd never seen. Adam and Eve were always naked. They just saw each other with their spirits in the proper place on the outside. Spirit, soul, and body. Without him, without our living spirit, we walk around and we see each other first as our body. And then it takes a while to get to know someone on a soulical level, their mind, will, and emotions. So we are living upside down. Our goal is to live as spirit beings here on this earth. And one of the marks of that will be to live 1,000 years. Now, I don't know how long that's going to take or what that's going to look like or if that's even going to be here on this earth, if there's going to need to be a new earth. Just don't know. But it's intriguing. Something to think about. And this is part of the problem of accepting some of the doctrines we've been taught. Because it keeps us from allowing the Lord to reveal reality. Just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. Especially when talking to God, one of the best things you can do is say, I don't know. He does. He knows what information you need. He knows why he's asked you, put you in the situation he's put you in. So when God draws your attention to his personal presence, respond. Lord, is that you? Lord, do I need to do anything? Lord, is this for a purpose or do you just want to be with me? Again, these are skills we're working to develop. Skills that will serve us and that God wants us to pursue. Not just because we should, but because he has stirred up a desire. His personal presence creates a desire and we change our life to cultivate a quiet lifestyle. God hasn't come to take part in your life. He's come to take over. And you've given him the keys. You've given him permission. The more attentive you are to his takeover, to what he's doing, that's the easiest we can make it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be simple, but it's not going to be easy. It'll be worth it, though. So thanks for tuning in. Have a great rest of the week. We'll be getting back together again at 9 o'clock on Saturday. If you've got any questions or topics you'd like to discuss, get in touch with me at Diane@WeCanPrepare.org, and we'll see what we can do. So thanks again for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.